Matthew chapter 2, and as I said before, I hope everybody will do their best to be back out to the service tonight, and come for the cantata. Bring a friend, bring a neighbor, let them know that it'll be an encouragement to them. We'll make sure we have some refreshments afterwards and just a time of fellowship. And also just be in prayer for our choir and those that will be in the drama. Please be praying for them, and Lord will help them as they get ready for tonight and some of those last few preparations and getting ready for that. I do want to before I begin into the passage, just want to mention a prayer request. Ms. Linda called just a moment ago, Brother Jeff was letting me know about. And Tim they want to take him because of some complication. I don't think it's anything very different than what he's been facing, but for whatever reason, they want to take him back to Emory. And Linda is just really upset about that and just feels bad. Didn't think it's necessary, but for whatever reason, they won't do that. So we're going to pray that the Lord would have mercy in this situation, that He'd give everybody involved wisdom. And the doctor said, if all possible, that they could just keep him here at the hospital here in Athens instead of having to go to Atlanta. And then also Jerry, at the same time all this going on, I believe he's come down with the flu, and they've sent him home, so he's not even able to be up at the hospital now with Linda and Tim through all of this. And so we're going to pray for this dear family. Just ask the Lord to help them. And why don't we just go ahead and pause for a moment of prayer right now. Father, we do come before you with thanksgiving, Lord, because we know that you are with us and for us. And Father, I just want to come before you now specifically on the behalf of the Tate family. Lord, you know the situation there. And Lord, I don't know all the details, but I do know, Father, that Ms. Linda has asked special prayer that Tim would be able to stay here in Athens, at Athens Regional. And I pray, God, that you would give wisdom to the doctors. And if all possible, Lord, could Tim stay here in Athens? And Lord, would you allow that to take place? You know the situation perfectly, Lord. And I'm just asking that you would help Linda and this time, and especially Jerry, who has now come down with the flu. I pray that you would just comfort him. It just seems like this family is really under a lot of pressure right now, Lord, that I can't even imagine. And we are praying now as a church together for this dear family, that you would give them much grace in this dark hour. God, that they would sense your presence like never before. And God, we just lift them up to you, asking you to comfort them and strengthen them during this difficult time. And we do ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, if you found your place there in the book of Matthew, we're going to continue with our Christmas messages. We've sort of just taken a break from the book of Daniel, our series. I'll pick that back up soon. But until then, the Lord keeps bringing these messages to my heart, and just that are revolving around the Christmas theme, and so we're going to continue with that. And this morning, we're going to look more towards the wise men who came from the east. Last Sunday, if you were here, we talked about the shouting shepherds. The message revolved around the testimony of those shepherds out there in the fields keeping the flock. And now this week we're going to go from the shouting shepherds to the seeking wise men. All right. The wise men are now going to be seeking after the Lord Jesus, and I want us to just look at some points there that I believe the Lord would have for us, and thinking about this theme of seeking the King, seeking after the King, and that is the King of all kings. That's the Lord Jesus that I'm talking about, and we're going to talk more about that here in a minute. But it's interesting how what God is going to use to guide these men to King Jesus, and some ways that I believe we'll be able to learn from, and in many ways God is still doing the same thing. He has chosen to lead us in different ways,
But one thing's for sure, he is still leading his people. And he's leading his people that will, number one, be willing to follow. And we're going to learn that from these wise men. And that he is very much involved. And the fact of the matter is, the great responsibility we still have today in seeking after this king. Well, let me just read here the first few verses. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible says, "Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born, King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." I'm not going to be able to spend a whole lot of time on that thought, but that is something I find very interesting in verse 3. I could understand Herod being troubled, but all of Jerusalem being troubled? And I can't help but wonder what was going through their minds being troubled at the fact that the King of the Jews had been born, the Savior, who many of them knew of and knew that He was coming. And there's a lot of parallels there that I won't be able to get into this morning. We're going to be discussing some other areas that we see these wise men. But it does help me to think about this fact, church. We don't ever need to be afraid when God is working or moving in our lives. We don't ever need to be afraid when God is seeking to get our attention. When God is seeking for us to and looking for us to seek after Him. He wants to be very involved in each of our lives. And this situation here, we see that these folks in Jerusalem were troubled. And Herod was troubled. And we're going to talk about that with the Lord's help. Let's pray. Father, I'm praying now that You would just give me the liberty I need this morning. And Lord, I pray that You'd help our people. Lord, there's no doubt in my mind that there are some very serious needs here this morning that I have no capacity to meet and wouldn't pretend to, but Lord, I know that You do, and I know that You can, and I know that You will. Lord, I pray that every heart would be open to whatever You want to say to them and to me, and Lord, I pray that You would get the honor and glory as we look to You, Lord God, for our help, for our strength. As we look to You to worship You, God, please help us now. In this hour, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want us to see, first of all, here, as we are looking at the wise men seeking, there are three ways that I believe the wise men followed God, and we'll look at those more closely. But one of the things that's the most interesting, probably to us in our day and age, is the fact that God used a star to lead them specifically to where King Jesus would be found. And that's not something we hear of happening of today, is it? We don't hear of men following stars necessarily to find the Lord. But God saw fit to use that. Now, I will say this. Stars are still very much used today for navigating. Of course, they do speak of God's glory. We read that in the Psalms. They speak of the Creator, and no man can deny that. But God allows the stars even to be used in a practical sense of navigating. And the reason I know that is because I wouldn't maybe not known it as much, but when I moved out to the desert and was out among those nomadic tribes, the Tuareg, I'm telling you, I found it very quickly that they were not interested or accustomed, and rightly so, for that region. They did not really care much for electronical devices when it came for direction. They depended upon the Lord's GPS, the stars, and the sky. It's simply amazing. In fact, it's kind of funny. I was third year in college, and man, I was all excited about going out to Niger for the first time, and I called Brother Edens, who was a veteran missionary there, and of course, you know, just so wet behind the ears, never really been out of the country, and and had a lot to learn. And man, I was talking to him, so I say, listen, what do you have for your GPS? Because me being in the Coast Guard, man, we had all kinds of equipment that we use for the global positioning system and using latitude and longitude charts, yes, but also our computer devices that help quicken the process so much. And I said, Brother Edens, you know, what kind of GPS you got out there? And he said, well, he said, we got God's GPS. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? He said, well, brother, when we're out here, we can't depend on battery-powered machines. We can't depend upon electricity. You get out there in the middle of a desert, and you were to get lost or you want to find your bearings, you better be leaning and knowing something about astrology, about the stars that God has given. And that's something that I believe that sometimes we don't think about as much. Some of us can identify certain stars and whatnot, the North Star, and we go through the line and all the different ones that we know of. But the fact of the matter is, these people used them. And these men that we're talking about were experts in many ways to the stars and how to use them. But we got to realize very quickly that this was not just any ordinary star. This was a special star sent straight from God, straight from the hand of God, to direct these wise men to the King of Kings. And the first way I want us to see here, the first thing about these wise men who followed God that I want us to see is that they adhered to God's Word. They simply followed after, number one, God's Word. All right, why do I say that? It's because it is most definitely evident through this passage and others, that these wise men had heard of the Messiah. They had heard most definitely portions of Scripture that identified that the King of the Jews would be born in Bethlehem. He would be born in Jerusalem, in that area of the world, and they were coming. Now, one thing we don't know for sure is how long of a trip had been taken. Now, there's different opinions that perhaps it was over 1,000 miles. Perhaps it was just several hundred. We don't know for sure. But one thing is that we do know that it was a long journey because of the time it took them that we'll see more here in a minute. But they were first responding to the Word of God. Revelation that God had given them and directing them towards His will. Now, that, my friend, has not changed. Don't expect God to lead us. We cannot expect God to ever lead us for His will outside of His Word. It just won't happen. Well, God told me to do this. Well, all right, well, that may be so. God maybe spoke to you. We'll talk about that in a minute here, more personal, specific will. But is it contrary to the Word of God? Then God didn't tell you to do that. And that's a very first indication we have to come to when someone says they're going to do something. Well, let's see if it matches up with the Word of God. And I believe that these men were responding to what they knew of God's revelation, the Word of God. That it was known of them and the direction that they got. And not only that they heard through the Word, but then God gave them a star. God gave them a star to follow after, to see where the King of Kings would be. And how awesome, as we look to this, that they are going to seek after the King. But can I say, first of all, before we move from the Word of God, we must walk by faith and we must follow after the King and seek after the King, just like these wise men were doing. It must come by first seeking Him through His Word. You know, somebody saying, I love God and I follow God and have no time for His Word. Listen, I can't believe that. Somebody that would tell me and say in my own life, listen, I really want to know God's will for my life. And man, I really do want to know God more, but they're not willing to take the time to get into their Bibles. There's problems there. Because this is where we will seek after God. This is where we will find the revelation of God in the Scriptures, the Holy Bible. That, my friend, is where we will find it. The Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We respond to God's Word. His Word gives light. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Well, I tell you what, you know, this this thing of light is so important. We were just out, had a kind of a Jennings Christmas, traditional thing we do every year. The Jennings Christmas, we shoot fireworks. And we get those ones in South Carolina, they're legal. In Georgia, they're not. If y'all want some, I'll bring you some, but don't tell anybody, okay? But this is the truth. We get out there, and boy, it is pitch black out in the field where we're shooting fireworks. And yes, we got our little lighters to shoot them off and everything, but boy, you have a good flashlight, or you'll get tripped up real quick. And boy, out there shooting fireworks, which can be extremely dangerous, that is so very true. And having a good lighting system, whether it be a headlamp or a light, will keep you from stumbling. It will keep you on the right track. It'll keep you from killing yourself, okay? And I want to tell you something. God's Word will keep you from killing yourself. Because the truth is, we are all prone to go our own way. We are all prone to go astray. There's not a person in this room that does not have a temptation to go their own way. But for to keep us on the right track and to keep us on the lighted path, we go on the path that the Word of God gives light. And I believe these wise men were responding to, number one, God's Word. And we see that very clearly. And we'll see that here in a moment too, because when they, in fact, just go over there and look. It says here, on down, and it says, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And then verse 4, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Okay, so we know very clearly that it was known that Christ would be born. The Messiah was coming. And it was even expected to a certain degree. And then verse 5, and they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it was written by the prophet, okay? And then it says, verse 6, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And then look at verse 7. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. So we see that it's evident, not only was there a time in their beginnings, there in the, with the wise men in seeking after Jesus and God's Word, but now we get God's Word even coming through a heathen king. A heathen king is delivering the Word of God to these people because he's saying, you want to go to Bethlehem. He got the Word from the scribes. He got the Word from the scribes, and he met with those wise men privately and said, hey, listen, fellas, let me tell you where you need to go. Where did he get his information from? What was his source? His source was the Word of God. That is where the truth is. And that's where he got it, and so they were going to depend upon that. And they did. Can I ask you something this morning, church, and something we all ask ourselves? What is the value of God's Word to us? How important is it in our lives, daily, nightly, in the morning? Where do we place this Bible in our homes? Is it at a place that we just strategically grab on just Sundays? Or is it a place that of prominence in our home that we are often opening it up and finding out how we can seek after God as these wise men did? Listen, we cannot seek God outside of a healthy relationship, if you will, with the Word of God. A healthy practice of feeding on God's Word and being in it. That, my friend, will be a wise man that is truly seeking after God. And I'll tell you what, it will protect us as we see here in a minute. You know, now they arrive to the area where God is going to be leading them. He's going to give them that. But then we see that after they get the revelation there, more information from Herod, look what happens there in verse number 8. And he sent them to Bethlehem. And saying, go search diligently for the young child. And then, of course, verse 9. And when they had heard the king, they departed. And guess what? And lo, the star. That star which they saw in the east went before them. till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now, this word star, again, it's an interesting concept here. It definitely gave much illumination. It gave much lighting unto the people. Now, and I think a star, it wasn't necessarily the stars that we are seeing up in the sky. I don't believe that. The smallest star, they say, is right around the size of Jupiter, okay? And we're talking about 11 and a half times bigger than the Earth. So our smallest star, you take about 11 Earths, okay, and stack them side by side. That's how big the smallest star is, or how small the smallest star is. It's really big, and so I don't necessarily think this gigantic thing came down close to Earth, all right? But what it did give very clearly is some sort of illumination. It could have been what they consider the Shekinah glory, which spoke of that lighting which was given to the children of Israel in the times of wandering in the wilderness, that by day and by night, the fire and the cloud that God was give, His brilliance, His lighting, would lead them daily. And there was something, my friends, very supernatural about this lighting that God was giving these wise men that were seeking after Him. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know for sure. God knows your heart. But perhaps I'm speaking to someone this morning that, quite frankly, if you were completely honest, you almost feel like you're in the dark. You almost feel like you're in a big fog and you can't seem to get any light from the Lord. You can't seem to get any direction. And there seems to be darkness and you're looking for God to guide you. Can I ask you, my friend, are you seeking after God? Because when you seek after God, God will respond with light. He will give you light just as these wise men, they were seeking after the King of Kings. And He gave them this light. So I want us to see, number one, they adhered here by the Holy Scriptures. And we could go through and look at Daniel 9:25, and we could go look at Micah 5:2, and which was repeated in these passages and portions of Scripture where the Old Testament confirmed this action going on, this occurrence going on, confirmed them. But for sake of time, we're going to move along. So we looked at the Scriptures, and then we look at this star. Now, this star, I believe, is a representation for us today, I would say, would be the Holy Spirit of God. I believe that God has given us His Spirit to give us specific instruction. Okay? There's nothing in the Bible that says, Brinson Jennings, I want you to go be the pastor of Crooked Creek Baptist Church. There's just nothing that says anything close to that. But the truth of the matter is, the Word of God says plenty about walking with Him, delighting myself in Him, and Him giving the desires of my heart. The Word of God says, trust in Him with all my heart, and lean not on my own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledge Him, acknowledge Him, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct my paths. Friend, I want to tell you, that's where you will find your security, is seeking after God. Don't sit around in the dark and complain when you're not seeking after God. God's going to give light to those that are seeking after light. And that is the truth and the comfort of the God of heaven. And these wise men were seeking after the King of Kings, and God was giving them the exact light that they needed. God uses His Word, but there are some things that God doesn't tell us. Like I mentioned, you know, when I was first praying about what God was leading us to do coming from Niger, Joanna and I were just really seeking after God. Like, God, why are You leading us back to the States? And we just didn't know exactly all the details of what was going on. And so we just presented ourselves before the Lord and sought after Him with great fervency and diligence. But there's nothing in the Word of God that says what to do next other than just surrender and be ready, be moving forward, being the way the Lord led me. And then, and through His providence and through the leading of the Holy Spirit, He brought us together. This dear church and our family brought us together. The power of the Holy Spirit, His leading. That's what the Spirit of God does. He leads us specifically. The Bible says in John 14:26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things." All things, the Comforter says. In John 16:13, "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come," it says this, He will guide you into all truth. The Spirit of God will. In Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We are led by God's Spirit. Specifically, what we need to do. You know, hey, young people, don't be so hard on your parents. Because you could quickly get a bad attitude and simply say, because of something they're asking you to do, or something that they feel in their heart that God is leading them to do, you could easily say, well, that's not in the Bible. Be very careful with that. Be very careful with that. Why you say be careful with that? Because it could be very easily something that God has impressed upon their heart, the Holy Spirit, for a safeguard, for a man making a guardianship, if you will, a safeguard for his home. He feels God's Spirit is impressing him to do something. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. Listen, you got to be careful because God's Spirit can speak to us. Now, God's Spirit, again, it's not even going to tell mom and dad to do something that's contrary to the Bible. It's not going to tell you to sin. That's, of course, that's out of the question. We're not even referring to that, but God's Spirit will lead you. Hey, when it comes to you, each of us individually, whether it be a job occupation, whether whatever the case may be, whether it be finding a mate, when God gets you to that place in your life where you feel God wants you to be married and you're seeking after a husband or a wife, listen, God will lead you specifically. He doesn't give a name in the Bible who you should marry. But I want to tell you something. If you're seeking after God, He's going to make that known to you. But can I say the contrary? And I don't like to be Mr. Negative, but I have to give this aspect. If you do not seek after God, you can very easily go the wrong way. And I'm thankful that even when we do go the wrong way, because I could give up here and give hundreds of examples of times that I have gone the wrong way. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God that He's a gentle shepherd. He knows how to apply the pressure. He knows how to bring the discipline. But He can forgive, He can restore. But the fact of the matter is, if we are seeking after Him, He is going to lead us rightly, ladies and gentlemen. He is going to lead us on a plain path. He is going to help us. And by that, we will arrive to God's will. And that's point number two. We see, first of all, an adherence to God's Word. They adhered to God's Word. And then secondly, they arrived to God's will. They arrived to where God was leading them. Now, I don't want to go too much into this, but it was an arduous journey. It was a very, very difficult journey. And I want to say that right at the front, because some people, I don't know exactly where it started, but some, there are some churches out there and some movements are saying that if you are in the will of God, you won't experience any difficulty. They must not have read about the Apostle Paul. Matter of fact, most of the disciples. The disciples in the New Testament and what God's people have experienced, listen, there is difficulty in the will of God. And there are trials that we face, and there is persecution that we face, and there are hard times. I think of the Dear Tate family right now, one of the most godly families I've ever met in my life, and look what they're going through. But they would not want us to feel sorry for them one bit, because I've heard it out of their mouths. Listen, we believe that God is good. And He's leading us. And He's helping us. But the fact of the matter is, there is difficulty in arriving. I'm sure this arduous journey of these wise men, it took a lot of persistence. It took a lot just staying on it, sticking by the stuff. And I don't know, I may be talking to somebody here this morning, and quite honestly, you are on the verge, if you haven't already, of just straight up throwing in the towel. You are just on the, you just feel like it is no use, I quit. Listen, don't quit. God is with you. God is faithful. He wants you to keep on. And these men, however far they had to go, they had to be persistent. They needed to realize that, yes, there was some hard things ahead, but we're going after the King. We're going after the King of Kings. Hey, listen, can I ask you a question this morning? What is it going to take to stop you from seeking after the King? Don't give up on seeking after Him. You know, I think Bob Jones Sr. said, he said, the character of a man is gauged by what it takes to stop him. Let's don't give in. Let's don't quit. If you've thrown out the towel, go back and pick it up. And say, by God's grace, I am going to seek after the King, no matter what I'm faced with. We see it was an arduous journey, but I want us to see also with these wise men, there was some absolute surrender there. Where do you say absolute surrender? Well, think about what they did. These Gentiles coming in and to Jerusalem, all right, very easy to see, they're going to face some resistance. They're going to face that they're the weird people. They're the strangers coming in. But here they go. But look at their boldness. This is where I see absolute surrender. Here they are going to the man in charge, Herod. And this man was wicked. We've been talking about King Nebuchadnezzar. Hey, listen, I think very similar. I really believe that there's a lot of similarities there on how wicked this ruler was, Herod. But these men, these wise men, did not let somebody like that stop them. They were seeking after the King, and they were not going to let some fear of some man stop them from doing what God wanted them to do. There was an absolute surrender for them to go straight to Him and say, Hey, I know you're the ruler in charge, and we know we've heard the testimonies, and I don't know, I'm using my sanctified imagination here, and I'm thinking these wise men, of course, you come into town, usually when I'm coming to town looking for a certain person or looking for a certain place, you usually ask, you know, well, hey, listen, how do I get to this guy? You know, where is he? I need to talk to him, or I need to look for this house, and you know, whatever. Well, I can't imagine somebody saying, you looking for who? Oh, I'm looking for Herod. Herod, what you want to tell him? I'll say, we're looking for the King. Well, King? King? He is the King. He's the one in charge. And I can only imagine, in my sanctified imagination, I can only imagine him saying, now listen, you don't want to do that. You don't want to go tell him you're looking for the King. But they didn't stop, did they? They didn't stop. Hey, listen, teenagers, one of your greatest challenges in your life right now is going to be people that want to stop you from seeking after God. They will try to deter you and discourage you from seeking after God with all your heart. But don't let them. Determine in your heart that you will have boldness. You know, there's that verse in Proverbs that says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. I always thought that was a strange verse. Why would the wicked man flee when no man is pursuing? You know why? We know why he's pursuing? It's because he's so filled with guilt and fear that he is. You ever seen somebody that's guilty? They just look nervous. They look like they're up to something. They're ready to shoot out of the way from getting caught at any moment. They're ready to flee. They're ready to get out of the presence of light. But the righteous are as bold as a lion, filled with the Spirit of God. And I believe these wise men were seeking after the King of Kings. And they had boldness. And I want to tell you something, friend. You want to seek after God with all your heart, God will give you great boldness. Boldness you've never experienced outside of the fullness of the Holy Ghost, seeking after God. That's what it took. And that's what they did. They sought after the truth, the King of Kings. Boy, what were the results of that? What were the results of them seeking after the King? Well, we see there was joy. Go there with me in the passage. It says here, in verse number 9, we read that verse. They came to stood over from where the child was. And then verse 10. When they saw the star, they what, church? Rejoiced with exceeding what? I'd say that was a happy crowd. Now, I know tradition is saying there was 3 wise men, but nobody knows that. That's a tradition. That's okay. The 3 wise men, the songs and everything, that's okay. I get that. Not being critical. Well, we don't know how many of them were, but we know one thing, they were wise men. Can't argue with that part. They were wise men seeking after the Lord, and when they got there, they were having a shouting time. They were celebrating. They were rejoicing in what God led them to do. And by the way, you will too when you stick with God. When you seek after God and follow after Him, He will lead you to the place of exceeding joy. Not that there won't be resistance. Not that there won't be trials and dark times. Of course there will be. But there will be a joy that no man can take away. It says they were filled with joy. And then it says, and when they were coming to the house. Now by the way, there is evidence, I don't have time to cover it, of why we believe that Jesus was not just born. Okay? They had moved from the manger to the barn. They had moved from the barn to the house. Okay? And I don't have time to get into all that. If you want to know more about it, we can talk about it. But the fact of the matter is, the child had grown. I would say there's very strong evidence that the child was older than a year old. And so we see here that these men are coming to their house. The Holy Spirit of God has led them straight down this lane to where Joseph and Mary had their first home together. And so we see specific guidance here. And what happens when they get there? It says, and when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother. And look at their first response. They fell down. They fell down and worshiped Him. Hey, listen, I'm not telling you, don't take this the wrong way. But I think there's something reverent about falling down before God in worship. I don't believe you have to get down to worship. We worship standing. We worship sitting. I'm not trying to get into that. No, don't take me the wrong way. But listen, don't ever hesitate to get on your face before God. Show Him in just that your heart that you want to get low. You want to bow before Him. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You fall down before the Lord God, your Creator, your Savior. Out of why? Because you're just scared He's going to hurt you? No, you fall down out of gratitude. You fall down with adoration. You fall down with worship. When's the last time you just got on your face before God and praised Him and worship for how good He is? These men knew that they needed to get down before the God-man, the Lord Jesus, God in the flesh. We see that they worshiped Him. That's what happens when we're walking in God's will. There is a spirit of worship. Listen, folks, we just shouldn't just worship at church. Amen. Don't just worship at church, but we worship at all times. But we see here, not only was there joy in worship, but there were provisions. Now, I'm not going to preach on these points, but I will say this. Look there with me in verse 11. After they fell down and worshiped Him, the Bible says, and when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto Him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. You know, you cannot worship without giving. Never forget that, church. And I'm not just talking about financially here. Don't take that the wrong way. We can't worship the Lord God without first of giving of ourselves. There must be a giving of my heart. There must be a giving of my tongue, my speech. Everything that I have unto the Lord. Yes, my finances. All those things I give unto the Lord through worship. That's why we have the offering during our worship service. Our giving of our finances and our treasures unto the Lord. Back into the Lord as Mike prayed. It's a part of our worship. And we see that this right here had a very practical aspect of it. That it would prepare, it was provisional in the very fact that it would prepare Joseph and Mary and Jesus for the trip ahead. It would provide them for the necessary needs when they would have to flee due to Herod's wrath. They would have that availability. And that, my friend, was a result of these wise men worshiping the Lord God. Well, in my last point this morning, I want us to see, thirdly, that these wise men avoided Herod's wrath. So we see that they arrived. They got to where God was leading them. The wise men did. And they, by adhering to God's Word and listening to the star, which is a type of the Spirit of God in our lives today. But then thirdly and lastly, they avoided Herod's wrath. Look there with me in verse number 12. It says here, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Because they were seeking after God and seeking to please Him, God protected them from Herod's wrath. I want to say this, and you say, well, preacher, you say this a lot. Well, I'll continue saying it because it's the truth. You seek after God and you follow Him, you will avoid the wrath of Satan. Herod is a type of Satan. Herod was wanting to destroy King Jesus. He was an instrument of Satan. He wanted to destroy Christ. And by doing that, he went and destroyed all of those babies in that area of Bethlehem. He would do that. And he would be surely would have taken the kings out for not coming back. You see, the wrath of Satan is upon and seeking to destroy every one of us. But when we seek after God, God gives a special protection for those that are seeking after them. I mean, how did they know to avoid Herod's wrath, especially after he said he wanted to come and worship? I mean, you think about it. How did they discern that? Listen, I want to say something to you here. God will give those His people that are seeking after Him a special discernment. And I'm not trying to be mystical here, and I'm not even going there, but I'm just stating a truth. Take it, write it down. It's the Bible truth. When you are seeking after the Lord, there will be a special discernment given unto you. To be able to discern right from wrong, to be able to know whether God be in something. God, in leading you, He will give you that discernment that we so desperately need in our decision making. Because otherwise He would not have known unless God would have intervened. But these wise men were in touch with God, and that is the lesson. We must be in touch with the Lord. He will protect us. They were the avoidance of Herod's wrath. He was giving them direction. And they were warned by God. Hey, can I say this? You will not be warned by God unless you are walking with God. You will not be warned by God unless you are walking with God. Unless you're hearing His voice. You know, the Bible says a prudent man, he foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. You know, the simple man just la 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 la. Whatever goes, goes. It's going to keep on going. The Bible says that man right there is going to get destroyed. It's going to be destroyed. But the man that is in touch with God, he's hearing the voice of God. He foreseeth the evil and the potential problems. And that's exactly what happened with these wise men. And God looked after them. Hey, listen. This thing of seeking God and following after God. Church, where are we? Where are we? You know, I think sometimes, sadly, in my own life, I've caught myself there. We almost think that the seeking stops after salvation. We think that the seeking after God stops at salvation. But can I say this with all my heart? It's only beginning. It's only beginning. Yes, I have God as Savior, and I have sought after Him, and He sought after me, praise God, and I found Him. But listen, can I tell you, my friend, the seeking is only beginning. The Bible says, for without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek after Him. He's just not talking about salvation there. He's talking about a life that is seeking after God. It's only beginning, folks. Where's your fervency? Where's your fervency? It was an old philosopher, Socrates or somebody, that gave the illustration. He had one of his disciples that was coming and wanting to say, hey, I want you to teach me everything, teacher. Teach me everything you know. I want to know. And the philosopher just ignored him. Ignored him. They were outside at the time, and Brother Bill's heard this. And of course, that philosopher went out there and got into the water. They're by a lake and got in the water. And boy, that little disciple, that guy, he came out and followed him out in the water. And he grabbed that rascal and he dunked him under the water. This young man that was wanting to learn everything put his head under water and held that rascal under, thinking he's going to be drowned, thinking he's going to die. And at the very last second, when that man thought that man was probably on the verge of dying, pulled him up out of the water, and of course, you know, gasping for air, just for life. And that man said, "Let me tell you something, young man. When you desire to learn from me as much as you desired that breath of air just then, I'll be your teacher." There was a serious seeking after that air, and that is the same way God wants you and me to seek after Him. As if it was our last breath. God! Look with me over in Psalm 63, and I will close it with this psalm. Thank you for your patience. Psalm 63. Psalm 63. We'll read this and allow the Lord to help us understand this thing of seeking after Him. Psalm 63 says this, "O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee." That idea of early is priority. It means he and fervently. I'm going after You first thing. And He says, "My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." For what? "To see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary." That right there, my friend, is a perfect picture of seeking. I give these illustrations because it was come to mind as I'm studying. One of the times I was probably the thirstiest I'd ever been in my whole life. I'd played sports. I'd been thirsty. I'd been at work, whatnot. I'd been really thirsty. But one of the times that I'll never forget. I might be scarred. I don't know. Gives me a good appreciation of water. But I was out there on a desert trip, and we got out there and we got low on water. And folks, I'm not kidding here. We got low on water, and we had some of the nationals with us, and we just made everything equal. But we're talking about days that were 130, 140 degrees, 120 in the shade. And I remember just laying out, and Brother David, the veteran missionary I was with, he said, "You just lay under the shade," and he said, "You stay as still as possible." And that's exactly what we did until sundown for several hours. And then when we'd all have a sip of water, we'd all put equal amounts. And I tell you, folks, I had never desired water like that in my whole life. When it came by, you could just take a little sip. And I just wanted to turn it up. And I just wanted to guzzle that whole jug. I was so thirsty. But I'd never in my life been in a place where I thought I was going to thirst to death. And at that time, I was probably the closest to ever feeling that way. But it was just how much I wanted that water. And I read that verse, and that is what the Bible is talking about, folks. What is our desire? To seek after God and to know Him more. These wise men, I believe, were men that sought after the King of Kings. And that's what we need to ask ourselves this morning. How thirsty, how fervent are we after knowing and loving God? The God of the Bible, King Jesus. Hey, let this Christmas be a new beginning for you if you've sort of gotten away from knowing the Lord and seeking after Him. Let this season renew you in your desire to seek after Him. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I've gone a little longer than usual this morning. I thank You for the patience of the people. I do pray, Lord, that you would work in hearts. Lord, if there be somebody here that, if they're quite honest, they've never found You as Savior. They've been seeking in all the wrong places for satisfaction. They've been seeking perhaps religion. Perhaps they've been seeking advantages for themselves. But Lord, they've never really sought after You as their Savior. And I pray this morning that that would change. I pray that they would truly meet the King of Kings by seeking You by faith. And then I pray, Lord God, for the brethren that are here. Folks that have given a true testimony of salvation. I'm asking, Lord, that You would renew a right spirit with them in seeking You. Seeking after You with all that they have. Oh God, not letting anything hinder them from seeking the King of Glory. So Lord, I commit this invitation to You. I commit this time that we can renew our hearts to seek after Thee. Would You bless now? In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.